land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report for the fifth day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll look at the agricultural cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Coach Tim Beckman, that's the new head coach of the Illini football team, we'll be here to talk just a little bit about the importance of agriculture to his program. And it all happens along with the state statisticians' updates of crop progress right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, the futures finished like this. September contract for the soft red winter wheat at $8.47, down 19 cents for the day. December at $8.66, 22 and three quarters lower. And the July of next year at $8.52, down 9 and three quarters. The hard red in Kansas City, $8.78, down 6 and three quarters for the afternoon. September corn on the day, 7.89 and a quarter, down 17 and three quarters. December at 7.89 and three quarters as well, down 15 and a quarter. And the March at 7.94, 13 and three quarters lower. The May contract, 7.90. These, of course, closing prices, down 12 and three quarters. Settlements haven't arrived yet. July futures, 7.80 and a quarter, down 7 and three quarters. And December of next year at 6.58, it was a gainer, up a penny for the day. September beans, down 23 cents at $17.48. That is the settlement price. November at 747 and a half on its settlement, down 20 and three quarters. And January soybeans down 20 cents at 17.46 and a quarter. May futures 16.13, 10 and a quarter lower. Next year's November beans at 13.76 and one half cents, down 5.5 cents. Bean meal at 5.34, down 7.40. Bean oil for the afternoon finished up in the nearby contract at 57.36, down 21 for the day. Live cattle futures October contract at 126.32 and a half, 15 cents higher. And the September feeders at 145 and a nickel, up 5 cents for the day. October lean hog, 73.62 and a half, down 57 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois, IPM. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, crude oil futures, October contract, $95.47 a barrel, up 17 cents. The RBOB gasoline, that's wholesale gas prices, at $2.95 and 4 tenths of a cent. That's just about a tenth of a cent higher for the day. And ethanol at $2.52 and 8 tenths of a cent in the lead option, down 3.5 cents. The spread is to the positive side, 42 and 6 tenths of a cent. So that means ethanol is worth blending into the RBOB gasoline. Natural gas now, 2.79 and 6 tenths of a cent, down 5 and 8 tenths of a cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.12 and 3 tenths of a cent, 2 and 3 tenths lower. And gold futures on the afternoon, down $2 at $1,691.60 an ounce. The U.S. dollar at 81.23. That's down 0.07 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are likely, partly sunny, a high of 92 degrees with a south wind at 13 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 17. Chance of precipitation set this afternoon at 60% for the day. And then for tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 11, partly cloudy. A low of 66 on a southwest wind at 5 to 7. Chance of precip at 60%. And tomorrow, sunny skies and 83 degrees with the north-northwest wind at 7 to 9. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 59 on a northwest wind at 5 to 7. And then turning to the east after midnight, a 50% chance of showers on Friday. A few thunderstorms after 8 in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a high of 79 degrees with that east wind at about 5 miles an hour. And Friday night, a chance of showers and a few thunderstorms, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 8 p.m. So should get your football games in or mostly played. Cloudy, a low of 59 degrees. A chance of precipitation at 70%. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon.
What did you see in the marketplace today?
Ugliness. It's a great day if you like red. I think that when you looked at the corn market, corn is definitely under some pressure. I didn't hear a lot of pressure coming around here, but in talking during the day to people in Nebraska and especially in Minnesota, wherever you have non-irrigated corn, we're really seeing a lot of cobs falling out of the ground. Up in Minnesota, Cargill has even gone so far as to say, get out there and pick it. Even if it's 35 or 40% moisture, we'll try and give you, we'll do less dockage. We've got guys who are offering free DP if you'll bring corn in now. All kinds of different things going on out there. So I can see where some pressure came from that. There's also pressure, of course, I talked about it earlier with Dave from Argentina coming out and saying that they're going to allow more exports, although I do suspect that that probably is more of a play for the taxes that they collect on corn. When you look at wheat, wheat pretty much was a follower today. No wheat today because it just didn't have any gumption at all. It started out looking pretty good. If we could have closed above 877, we'd probably be looking at 925. If you look at anything else, you look at the bean side of it. I was happy to see beans stay above the 10-day moving average in that 1740 area. I still think that when you look at the bigger picture, I don't know how anybody else felt, but it felt like a heavy day today. There was just not a lot of news. Extremely quiet, and when you have extremely quiet days like this, you see profit taking, and I do think that's what dominated everything.
So there were several sets of numbers that came out. Landworth had some numbers, I think, maybe, and I saw those. Those were fairly low at 116, I think, for corn.
Right, right.
I did not see, although I think they came out, another set of numbers that came from,
They were supposed to come from F.C. Stone.
Yeah, did they show up?
I didn't see them either, to be absolutely honest with you. They might be out there. I was busy. The bigger thing, I think, is that when you look at the biggest picture, Landworth number one is always talking year end numbers, and
right.
I don't think 116 is probably out of the game, perhaps. But everything is still going to come down to harvested acres, and the less harvested acres we have, the higher the bushel number is going to be. But when you looked at Informa, Informa said this year's FSA numbers show close to 1 million acres more planted corn, and yet they came out with a lower carryout number. So everything comes down to harvested acres. How many of the really bad acres we drop out. And then, of course, if we believe that the demand did go down by 1.495 billion bushels, like they said on this last USDA report.
And then one last thing on the harvested acres, of course, will be how USDA deals with silage and those cut acres. Do you know what they'll do with those?
Yes. In fact, they get pulled out of acres for grain, and they go directly into the acres for silage. I did check that out with Joe Persaki. I called the USDA directly to make sure that that was the case, and that is the way it is. They no longer are a part of the grain planted acres. They become part of acres for silage.
So the acreage figures, when they do come out, will be correct and minus those silage, those acres that may not have been destined for silage to begin with, but ended up going that way because of the drought.
Yeah, that's exactly the truth. And so I think, when you look at the bigger picture, Todd, the USDA is still going to be the key to everything. Traders for right now, between now and then, are going to take some bets one way or the other, whether they think the USDA is actually going to drop us below the 500 million bushel carryout number. It could happen. If they feel that we just have not stymied enough of our demand to be able to say that the market doesn't have to go higher. But, when you look at the corn market, basis is the key. I just talked to somebody in Minnesota. Normally at this time of year, their basis is -30 or -70. It's -38 right now, and likely to go probably to less than -30. I mean, that is extremely significant and speaks volumes for how much demand there is for corn out there, or at least to get it in hand. That's still the big key. If it's in the bin, it's still not available to be used.
Would that be the reason Cargill's hunting corn so heavily, is that they're looking for more corn from the northern parts of the region to feed out to the rest of the Midwest that might be shorter?
That's exactly the truth. And, they also are no fools, because they know that they probably have the best test weight corn that there is in the United States right now. And, you know, that test weight corn is going to really bring a premium down here. It's just like any fellows here, you know, in the northern part of our listening area or anywhere where they were fortunate enough to get good test weight corn, you know, that is worth more just in general. And I'd be darned. I'd wrangle to get a better price for my heavy test weight corn before just hauling it in and taking the price that they give me, because this year there's just a huge difference in what the quality of the crop is.
Let me ask you a different question. You'd wrangle for it, but would you be willing to sell it? Nonetheless, are you ready to sell across the scale at this point?
I knew you'd ask me that.
You betcha.
Well, I guess it would have to. There's a number of things that would come into play. It depends upon how good a deal they'd offer me, and I'd have to sit down and pencil what my possibilities were in terms of, you know, the aflatoxin story, of course, is always part of it. We don't have any coverage if we store it, and then it all of a sudden shows up. And so I think I'd have to really be looking at it. I think selling across the scale is not a bad thing, but we have to recognize the value of what we have to sell across the scale.
Yeah, on the aflatoxin, I was reading from Iowa State University, release that they put out, I think, the 12th day of August. I'd have to go back and look, but I'll try to make sure that Dave puts this into the weekend newsletter, too, as a link, that livestock in general can tolerate pretty high levels of aflatoxin, up to 300 parts per billion, but that the export market won't take it, and that's the reason it's an FDA rule, not a USDA rule, but a Food and Drug Administration rule. So it just has to be rejected at the elevator, but there are other places to go with it if you can hunt around for a livestock producer or someplace else. Even an ethanol plant can use it, although they have to be pretty careful with what comes out the backside of it, I take it.
Oh, that's exactly the truth. You know, and there's varying levels. Your steers can handle it the best. Pregnant animals of any species do not handle it well at all. You know, from the standpoint, when you look at the USDA numbers, and you know I did nutrition for 16 years, those numbers are valid. It will not kill them. There's no question about that at those levels. But I'll tell you what, it will really hurt reproduction. And so you try and keep it out of those levels. You know, but if you get somebody who's got steers, you know, ruminant animals, not dairy cows, but ruminant animals like steers, it can definitely move into that area, and they can handle an immense amount of aflatoxin-affected corn. In fact, in Wisconsin, we used to have that problem quite often, and that's where it would go. It would go to the steers.
All right. Any final word from you before I let you go for the day?
Well, I do think, you know, that we better keep one eye very open on the Eurozone. They came out with unemployment today for Spain, 25.1, and the youth being under 25 at 52.9%, Greece, 23.1%. 53.8 for the people under 25 years old, and overall for the 17 countries that it was 11.3. So I know I probably sound like a broken record every week saying this, but, you know, don't get all wrapped up in what's going on just in the drought and everything else, because the Eurozone still has to be dealt with.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign, Illinois. Joins us on the closing market report for this Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop progress report. It shows as of the second day of September, 86% of the corn crop had dented. That compares with a rolling five-year average of 63%. 41% of the crop across the 18 states is mature, compared with 16% on the rolling five-year average, 26% last year at this time, by the way. And 10% of the crop has been harvested now in the United States. That compares to the rolling five-year average of just 3%. The condition of the crop is said to be in 19% good, 3% excellent. That's the same as last week. The very poor and poor categories are both 26%. Those two are the same as the previous week. Nothing changing in the condition of the corn crop in the United States. Now on to the soybeans, where 19% of the crop is dropping its leaves. The rolling five-year average, 9%. And the condition of the crop is said to be 26% good, 4% excellent, the same as last week. this week, 16 and 21 for very poor and poor. That compares to 17 and 21 the previous week. So slightly better condition, but not really very much for the soybeans. Now here are the regional updates with the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation.
This is the Travis Brazil. Last week, warm and dry condition promoted progress on Iowa's drought-damaged crops. As some farmers continue to chop for silage, farmers are also harvesting for grain. Some farmers who are harvesting for grain are also belling the stalks. A few reports of aflatoxin have been received. Topsoil moisture declined to 84% very short to short, while subsoil moisture slightly declined to 95% very short to short. 91% of the corn crop is at or beyond the dense stage, while 50% of the corn crop has reached the mature stage. Only 5% of the corn crop has been harvested. 51% of the soybean crop is turning color, a jump of 32 percentage points from last week. 7% of Iowa's soybean fields are dropping leaves 1 week ahead of last year. 63% of the soybean crop remain in a fair or better condition. 1/5 of Iowa pasture rangeland is rated in fair or better condition. The warmer weather caused little, if any, stress to livestock, with no issue being reported for last week. This is the Travis Brazil.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office. Finally, it rained. The remnants of Hurricane Isaac brought rainfall range from an average of 1.24 inches in northeastern Illinois, all the way up to 4.31 inches in the central area of the state. All districts reported above normal precipitation for the week, and that hasn't happened since late April. As a result of all the rainfall, topsoil moisture ratings improved dramatically and were rated 19% very short, 28% short, 51% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated as 43% very short, 43% short, and 14% adequate. Corn harvest advanced to 12% complete compared to 2% last year and 2% for the five-year average. 63% of the crop is now mature compared to 27% last year and 25% normally. The condition of the crop changed very little and is now 75% in very poor or poor condition, 21% fair, and 4% good. For soybeans, 7% of acres are now dropping leaves compared to 3% last year and 6% normally. 41% of acres are now turning yellow compared to 20% last year and 23% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop improved from last week and is now rated as 40% in very poor or poor condition, 42% in fair condition, and 18% in good to excellent condition. In closing, I would like to thank all the producers that have already completed their September 1 survey questionnaires for the quarterly hog inventory and small grains production surveys. Your responses are always kept confidential by law and are exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. We will still be collecting data by phone and by personal interview for the next 10 days. Your individual reports are tabulated with others and are used to report state and national totals and averages. These reports are used by all sectors of the agricultural community. The state and national reports will be made public on Friday, September 28. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with a crop weather report for the week ending September 2, 2012. Temperatures climbed back into triple digits, along with little precipitation continued to deepen drought conditions blanketing the state. Dryland corn harvest continues while harvest of high moisture and seed corn picked up momentum. Fire risk remains high, with producers encouraged to monitor harvesting equipment. Numerous drought-damaged cornfields have been chopped for silage or baled for hay. Corn conditions rated 22% very poor, 21 poor, 27 fair, 28 good, and 2 excellent. Nearly half of the soybean crop is turning color. Soybean conditions rated 20% in good to excellent condition. The first fields of winter wheat have been seeded in western counties, as well as the first fields of proso millet were harvested. With pastures in the state rating over 95% in poor or very poor condition, cattle producers continue supplemental feeding of livestock. Culling and marketing of livestock continues due to reduced forage supplies. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Warm, dry weather was widespread across the state this past week, yet corn condition ratings held steady from the previous week. As of September 2nd, corn condition was rated with 5% very poor, 12% poor, 33% fair, 43% good, and 7% excellent. The largest amount of precipitation was recorded at the Wheaton Reporting Station at just over a quarter of an inch. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies were rated with 22% very short, 41% short, 37% adequate. Corn was 88% in the dense stage or beyond, compared to 55% for the five-year average. 16% of the corn was mature, and that compares to 5% for the average. Corn harvested for silage was 65% complete. Soybeans were 56% turning yellow or beyond, compared to 26% for the average. 21% of the soybeans were dropping leaves or beyond, compared to 5% for the average. 3% of the state's soybeans were mature, and that compares to 0% for the average. Statewide, 80% of the soybeans were rated in fair to good condition, unchanged from the previous week. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 2nd, 2012. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress updates. Now, up next, you know, most of this week I've been asking you to go visit the Salute to Agriculture page and buy a ticket to come and visit with the football team, the Illini, at Memorial Stadium on the 15th day of September. In particular, the College of Aces tailgate. Earlier in the week, I got a chance to talk with Coach Beckman, a new head football coach at Illinois, about the importance of the College of Aces to his team and what it means to have agriculture's support as an Illini.
College of Aces was here last week. We invite a different college to our practices. They were able on Tuesday to come watch us practice, and then Wednesday we had them over for training table. So it was great to see the people from Aces, and we can't be more proud to be involved with that community.
So the students in the agricultural college here playing a big part in the role of the Illini football team. In fact, many of the Illini football players are enrolled in the College of Aces. More importantly for us today, Coach is a really big fan of agriculture.
Well, the easiest thing to say is thank you because of what they do, not just as the supporters of Illini football, but what they do to make our lives better. That's the basic thing that I could say to them. I've got a lot of true friends that are farmers that are out in the fields doing their work to make our communities and our lives better. So as a football program, as a head football coach, I want to say thank you to them for their support and for what they do for our communities.
So Coach Beckman understands the importance of agriculture and why you listen on the radio to his team play at Memorial Stadium. But he'd also like you to come out and visit with him on the 15th day of September.
Come on in and see us. We'd love to have you here and love for you to be involved in a Saturday in Memorial Stadium.
If you really do want to come and watch an Illini football game, the 15th day of September, the College of Aces will host a tailgate. Tickets are available, $20 for adults, $15 for students age 0 to, well, grad students, about 22 years of age. You get breakfast, a couple of drinks. The tailgate's just to the west of the Assembly Hall parking lot, actually the Circle Drive there. And a ticket to the game, just search Salute to Agriculture, Illinois Football in Google.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Naturally, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the cash grain market. Ben Stoller of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Any corn coming in?
We are seeing some corn coming in.
What kind of condition, and what do you think about it?
Well, it's fairly wet. I would say the new crop corn we're getting is averaging 25%. I'm not hearing very good yields from guys. Let's say averaging around 110 and really going from 80 bushel up to 140, so really all over the board at this point.
Was that about what you expected for the early crop or less than what you had hoped for at least last week or so?
Oh, I would say in general probably what we expected. I talked to a few guys who are a little bit disappointed, but as you know, is expected with 80 bushel corn.
And how's the ethanol plant working, and is it still making a profit?
Sure, yeah, ethanol plant, we're running full bore. You know, making a marginal profit. Certainly not large profit to be made right now, but we're running full steam.
And your bids for the day?
Bids for the day, corn to Delphi, 8.11, Clymer's corn, 8.16, and at IVEC, 8.16 as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Ben Stoller. He's with the Andersons in Logansport, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thanks for taking the time with us. A little unexpected rainfall, I think, came through my part of the world this morning. Were you expecting to see that, and will we see much more today?
We actually were expecting to see a little bit of that precipitation. It's actually the first of two frontal boundaries that is moving through the Midwest, and we will continue to see it marching on eastward across the rest of the region through the day today. Some of the thunderstorms that occurred this morning were very impressive, especially those that occurred during the period just before dawn this morning. Some locations in northeastern Iowa and southwestern Wisconsin, even northwestern Illinois, ended up getting hit with some fairly significant rainfall, some 1 to 2, and even some local amounts over 2 inches in a few counties and parts of counties. The precipitation kind of fell apart for a few hours there when it came across the northwestern half of Illinois, but noticing here at recently we've seen some firing up of thunderstorms again, and so we're probably going to see some strong storms this afternoon at some locations from the southeast corner of Illinois through the heart of Ohio. We will probably end up with some totals here that will run anywhere from a couple tenths of an inch upwards to maybe 7 or 8 tenths of an inch, and this is the first of two frontal boundaries, as I mentioned before. The second one will come across the region starting tomorrow night and going on into Saturday morning. And that's the frontal boundary that brings us all the relief. The cooler air and the drier air comes rushing across the region. And sometime about this time on Sunday afternoon, we're going to be seeing temperatures across the Midwest running mostly in the upper 60s and 70s, with perhaps a few lower 80s in the southern parts of the region. It's going to be very nice weather. The relative humidity will be low, so we'll have an opportunity for the soil to dry down a little bit for those areas that are still dealing with kind of muddy conditions left over from Isaac. And we'll likely see our low temperatures at night slip back into the 40s in the north, far north, mostly Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then upper 40 and 50-degree readings for the rest of the region. Now, this isn't the start of winter. We will see warm-up take place again next week with the temperatures rebounding back into a bit of a more seasonable range of temperatures with highs running mostly in the 70s and lower 80s across the region.
Last week when we talked to you, we asked a little bit about the drought and whether this Isaac was a drought buster. I suppose for parts of the Midwest it might have been. Do you still have concerns for Iowa, Minnesota, any parts of the Western Corn Belt?
Actually, I have quite a few concerns left. Certainly, we're in a pretty good situation right now for planting winter crops and whatnot. But even though we brought the soil moisture up considerably across the Midwest, we haven't really fixed the subsoil moisture, the long-term moisture situation, the water levels in the rivers and streams, and the soil moisture tables down deep into the ground are still quite low, and we're going to see that prevail for a while. Yes, the upper parts of the Midwest are definitely still dry, and to be honest with you, I don't see a lot of precipitation coming in for those areas for quite some time. They may get a storm or two, but even the late autumn and winter are looking a little bit on the dry side for those areas, so it looks like the driest bias in the country is shifting a little bit further to the north still, and we may be still dealing with some dryness issues when we come into spring next year. Of course, these are big talking words here, and we have no clue what's really going to happen, I suppose. But the bottom line is that we do still have moisture deficits in the lower Midwest as well as the upper Midwest that need to be dealt with over these next few months.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.